Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the new creature in Christ Jesus. Chapter 6. The new creature put in evidence by the contrast with the most emblematic figures of the natural human being. Topic: C. Types of life or styles of the same type of life. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Or, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. Observing the verse exposed above, and in view that circumcision is considered equivalent to the uncircumcision in the aspect of both having no virtue or value before the new creature, it may be said, then, that the people in the world are divided essentially only in two major types or categories of life, namely: first, the kind of life that considers and attributes virtue to circumcision or uncircumcision. Second, the type of life according to the new creature in Christ Jesus. It is interesting to note that circumcision and uncircumcision, although they have distinct individual characteristics between them, are not indeed different types of life before God, but they are only a variation of what we here call as styles of one or the same kind of life. Once the main characteristics of the new creature's life condition become better known, it is noticeable that the life choices in the present world are actually divided just into two types that are indeed distinct, namely: 1. A life that is not guided by God, or a life guided by the Lord. 2. A life in dissonance with the will of God, or a life according to the will of God. 3. A life inclined to the direction of the flesh, or a life inclined to the direction of the Spirit. 4. A life grounded in worldly wisdom and the strength of the flesh, or a life rooted in wisdom from above, the wisdom that comes from God, and that is grounded in the strength of the Lord. The first type of life mentioned above, the kind of life guided by the world's references, is divided into two distinct styles, circumcision or uncircumcision. However, since both styles are not compatible with the new creature and none of them can lead a person to salvation in God, the two are equated in what, essentially, they are not and in what both cannot achieve or grant. In the previous topic, some considerations on these two styles have already been exposed, which, in the end, result in the same kind of life according to the flesh, and not according to the Spirit of God. However, in order to enlarge the subject on them a little more, it may be interesting for the reader to know also two other terms which in the Scriptures are similarly, broadly, or respectively related to the definition of the characteristics that make up the life under circumcision or under uncircumcision, namely: first, the life associated with the term Jew. Second, the life associated with the term Greek. Colossians 3:9-11. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Romans 10:10-13. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the subjects on rightly dividing the word of truth and on colligated or associated words and riddles of antiquity, it was pointed out that various references in the Scriptures to the historical terms of the names of peoples were used to make mention of the kinds of postures people have adopted in their lives in their specific epochs, and yet, that they do not necessarily mean the nationality from which a person descends. For instance, when God makes reference in the Scriptures of the New Testament to the term Jew and Greek, he is not necessarily referring to people born in these nations, but rather to people who have adhered to the behaviors and postures of life similar to what these groups of peoples adopted in antiquity. The terms Jew and Greek, mentioned in the New Testament, several times refer to typologies or figures of speech that point to people who adopt lifestyles similar to those historically known or practiced by the Jews or by the non-Jews, that is, by the Greeks, where the latter is used to represent all Gentile peoples or all peoples who did not have in mind to serve the unique God and Creator of the heavens and the earth. When we also observe the figure of speech called barbarians, we may see that it was not even God who first called them barbarians, but it was the other peoples who came to call them so for the fame of violent and savage they had in general before other nations. Among the barbarian peoples, however, not every person living among them was a descendant of them or was necessarily a barbarian, in the sense of the behavior associated with the term applied to them. As a figure of speech, some terms associated with some peoples came to represent the global expression of the behavioral characteristics that these groups of peoples adopted more broadly and that stood out in the eyes of other groups. Thus, when the scriptures teach us, regarding being in Christ Jesus, that there is no virtue in circumcision, a concept associated with those figuratively referred to by the term Jew, and that there equally is no value in uncircumcision, a concept associated with those allegorically denominated by the term Greek, they are also teaching us that the barriers or conduct that divided peoples also lost value or virtue in relation to the life according to the new creature or according to the heavenly kingdom. As much as human beings are divided into the various peoples or spread out among the nations, they are primarily people before God. God loves all individuals in the world, no matter what region, race, or nation they belong. Regarding the novelty of life in Christ, it does not matter what language individuals speak in their most diverse peoples, in what territory they inhabit, of which race they descend, for, since they are people, God loves them and offers to all of them the newness life according to the new creature. Deuteronomy 10:17-18. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Psalms 9:20. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 2:2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only but also for the whole world. If a person is native to a territory or a person is there as a foreigner, God loves him or her because one is a human being and not because one is native or foreigner. God also has no preference for the literate to the detriment of the illiterate, for someone who speaks a local dialect or who speaks a language used globally. God did not create human beings with the division of peoples, conduct, and languages. The division of humans into peoples and languages happened among them because of the evil attempts they had against the unique God and Creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, according to Genesis 11. The division of languages and peoples was indeed introduced by God in humanity, but it occurred because humans wanted to 1. Establish their own way to guide their lives. 2. Establish a way to protect themselves according to their own security concepts. 3. Make a name for themselves. 4. Establish their own method for reaching the heavens. The division of languages and peoples was introduced by God in humanity because human beings wanted to create their own lifestyles on earth and toward God, thus generating the Jewish and Greek styles with their various variations, which, however, ended up exposing the fact that none of the methods proposed by humankind can lead people to the remission of sin and human salvation. the two lifestyles created as a result of human resistance to God, and the various variables embodied in each of them, have to the same extent or degree no value in the face of the new creature, which, in turn, refers to a proposition from heaven, being constituted and characterized exclusively or entirely by God. On the other hand, because of the centuries that have passed under the regime of the divisions of languages, territories, and conduct of the several distinct groups, human beings began to reason in terms of peoples, races, and languages as if this qualified them as more or less important than people of other groups and with other natural characteristics. Here, however, it should be emphasized once again that the divisions and enmities of languages and peoples no longer have categorization or classification value for the condition of the new creature in Christ, for although the divisions of languages and peoples have arisen because of pride and human sin, Christ came to manifest the provision for the remission of sinners equally to all humankind and to show and offer all individuals the true path of humility and life in the Lord. Keeping in mind that the new creature in Christ comes directly from the kingdom of God, from the heavenly kingdom, in which there are no divisions of persons like those divisions that occurred among the people on the earth, also the concepts of earthly groups, peoples, or nationalities do not define the new creature or any aspect of its value or its virtues. In Christ, there are no preferences for earthly nations, peoples, or languages. The new creature is in no way submitted to the divisions that have been provoked over the centuries or because of the pride, the sins, and the contentions of human beings. In Christ, there is no variation of types of Christians according to the division that the people have made in their natural or fleshly lives. In Christ, there is not and cannot be the Greek Christian, the Jewish Christian, the barbarian Christian, the Scythian Christian, the African Christian, the American Christian, the Asian Christian, the European Christian, the Oceanian Christian, or the Antarctic Christian. In the Lord, there can be, and certainly there will be, Christians who came from all tribes, peoples, tongues, and nations, but in Christ they all likewise have the same heavenly citizenship. Philippians 3:20-21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Revelation 5:9-10. And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll, and to open its seals, for you were slain, and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Hebrews 12:22-24. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. By pride and sin, people have provoked strife and divisions between them. However, in Christ, as a new creature, the people who receive it become once again one family, one holy nation, one chosen people, the Lord's eternal generation, one flock with a unique shepherd, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Ephesians 2:10-22. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The prayer of a person who is a new creation in Christ and who lives in a country with an abundant material condition has no preference, before God, to the prayer of a Christian of a country that is living in poverty, and vice versa, for in Christ, the territorial issues or the natural concerning about nationalities do not have the value that people give them in the world. In Christ, both the Jew and the Greek, or Gentile, were made a new man, a new being, a new creature, where the enmity of circumcision with uncircumcision, and vice versa, no more makes sense to exist, for in Christ the two lifestyles of the same fleshly man, and equally contrary to God, have no virtue or no value at all. The prayer of a Christian in a country that is considered more developed in the human eye is not superior and more important than the prayer of a Christian in a country that is regarded as less developed, as well as the prayer of those who descend from the nationality of the Hebrews or of the Jewish model of conduct is not superior to those who descend from the Greeks or the Greek model of conduct, or vice versa. In Christ, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, there are not the divisions of peoples and races that were created from the Tower of Babel and throughout human history for centuries. The gospel of the righteousness of God, of salvation, of the grace of God, of peace, of the power of the Lord, of the heavenly promise, of the kingdom, of Christ, of the Creator, and of the glory of God and the glory of Christ is one and the same for all peoples, whether a person descends from the figure of the Jew or the circumcision, or from the figure of the Greek or the uncircumcision. In Christ, salvation is reached personally by all individuals who choose to receive the gospel offered to them, not being some particular type of offspring greater or lesser than any other in what regards salvation in the Lord. Aspects covered more broadly also in the subject name to whom is the gospel of God designed or offered. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 11:32. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. The new creature or new creation is not called to adopt the flag of one's natural nationality in the relationship with God, as well as in one's relationships with other Christians or members of the family of God. Just as in Christ, there is no hierarchy of command and domination among Christians of the same family of God, for all are brethren before the same heavenly Father and Christ alone is Lord of all. So, in Christ, there are also no divisions of earthly territories and human citizenship, beginning with the prayers that all Christians are called to perform before the Lord, according to the following examples. 1 Timothy 2:1-6. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, or preeminence, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. No matter how many distinct nations may be constituted, their essence always remains associated with the fact that they are made up of persons created by the same and unique God. The nations and their earthly flags are circumstantial and change over the years and centuries, and this is not a determining factor for the eternity of people's souls. Many are the peoples and nations who have thought that they would last forever, but that even no longer exist. Nevertheless, persons of all peoples, nations, or languages may have something in common besides being people. They may have the same eternal salvation, accomplished by the same provision made on the cross of Calvary and by the blood of the eternal Lamb. The blood of Christ, the redemption provided on the cross of Calvary, as we have already seen in a text above, reaches every tribe, language, people, and nation, because the blood of the Lord was not shed for the very tribes, peoples, and nations, but, instead, for human beings, for persons or individuals that are in any tribe, people, or nation. As has been mentioned in other subjects of this systemic teaching about the Christian life, there was no shedding of special drops of the blood of Christ for special kinds of persons or groups of people, for all have likewise sinned and there is not a single righteous in any tribe, people, or nation that does not need the same mercy of God. The blood of Christ is equally precious to all individuals, having been poured out evenly to all persons of all ages, regions, and nations. Romans 3:23-24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 1:17-21. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. With the purpose of announcing that the work of Christ extends to all human beings, it can be observed, therefore, that in several texts of the Scriptures that approach the new creature, in contrast to the worthless condition of circumcision or uncircumcision before God, there also is included the quotation of the two natural groups of human beings according to the model of their conduct, that is, the Jew and the Greek, or Gentile. However, to make it even more evident that all are recognized without partiality in Christ when they are constituted as a new creature, the Lord still makes a point of highlighting this comprehensiveness of all by citing also barbarians, as well as slaves and free, men and women, so that it can be known that also within each group of individuals no one is disqualified by one's specific natural situation. And yet among the barbarians, the Scriptures mention the Scythians, which, at some point, were considered the most barbarous among the barbarians, showing that God's mercy cannot be limited by whatever natural condition people find themselves in. If in the ancient circumcision, for example, only free men could be marked with it, in the new creature in Christ any barrier that humans have placed among themselves has no value, for in Christ, even those who have been condemned by the world can be made alive in the Spirit of the Lord. Galatians 3:26-28. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. 1 Peter 4:6. For this reason the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. In Christ, the past of a person or the nationality, people, or tribe from which one descends does not qualify him or her more or less than other persons. In Christ, all are likewise made new creation or new creature, causing old things, considered so important in former times, to have passed, as, for example, the divisions of circumcision or uncircumcision, Jew or Greek, barbarians or Scythians, free or slave, male or female, condemned or not condemned by the world. In contemporary times we could also insert the consideration that even the inner divisions of a nation do not matter to the newness of life in Christ. To be from the south or the north, from the east or the west, from one state or one city considered better than another, and so on, does not define the essential aspects of those who are in Christ Jesus. The necessity of God's grace and mercy are the same for all people of all places and all origins. Psalms 14:3. They have all turned aside, they have together become corrupt, there is none who does good, no, not one. Romans 3:9-12. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside, they have together become unprofitable, there is none who does good, no, not one. For God, as to offering and granting the new life in Christ Jesus, there is no distinction between human beings because of the matters of natural variations among them.